Okay, I'll have you take a seat. Good to have you here this morning. We actually have a guest speaker this morning, Greg Meyer. His wife, Susan, is actually over in a Sunday school class right now, so she's not in the sanctuary. But Greg and Susan have been missionaries to Muslims, spent a lot of time in Turkey, are now back in the States, ministering to Muslims in the States and reaching out with the good news of the gospel. So when we talked about him being in town, I thought this was a very timely subject for him to come and share for us to understand more about the Muslims and their faith, and in the U.S., how we can be used of God to help them see and experience and know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Greg, come on up. We look forward to what God has put in your heart to share. Thank you for coming. Let's make sure you...
Good morning. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Think of where you would be this morning, 9:30, Sunday morning, if you didn't know Jesus as your Savior. I mean, think of the difference that Christ has made in your life. Isn't that wonderful? I want to thank Pastor Charlie, thank First Baptist Church for the you've been supporting us in our missionary work for over 35 years. And we give, I just want to thank you. Praise you for that. First, we were in Turkey. We were in Turkey for 15 years. In church planning, we were starting churches in different cities. We started 5 different churches. Not alone. We were on a team of church planners working in 5 different cities. In our last city, Turkey, we had so many people come into faith in Christ. The Turkish government found out what we were doing because, you know, you can't go to Turkey as a missionary. Turkey doesn't accept missionaries as a Muslim country. We had to go as English teachers. But then we would teach an English class and then we would share Christ. And so many people came to faith in Christ. And the Turkish government found out about it and they asked us if we'd like to leave the country. We went up to Germany, and we were 8 years in Germany because there's 4 million Turkish workers in Germany. And we started another church amongst the Turkish people in Germany. And after 20 years overseas, actually 22 years overseas, the Lord brought us back to the United States, but then we still have a love and a heart to reach Muslims for Jesus Christ. So now we're involved in the ministry with international students at the University of Colorado, where there's thousands of Muslims, and they're interested. What I find about Muslims are nothing to be afraid of. They're just ordinary people like we are, and they have concerns, they have problems, and they need help. The one thing about international students, when they come to America, they come for an education, of course. But the second most popular thing that they request, above all else, is to have an American friend. They come to get an education, but many have been here for 4 years. They go to graduate school 6 years, and they've never been invited into an American home. They want to have American friends. Think of that. Think of how God is going to use us in their lives. I'm going to start this morning by reading from the book of Psalms. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. This is what it says. From God's word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O Lord. May all the peoples See, God loves us. God loves us. And we like to hear that God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our lives. But these verses are not talking just about us. Yes, he has a special plan for us, but it's for the whole world. God wants to use us to bless the whole world. Because he loves the whole world. He loves everybody. Have you ever thought about why does the church exist? Well, why do we have a church anyway? What's the purpose of the church? Is it just for us? Just for our benefit? What we can get out of it? Or is it that God, the church is God's continuing presence in the world, sharing his love with those who don't know him? We often say that the church has a mission, but in actual fact, the church doesn't have a mission. God has a mission, and he's using the church to accomplish his mission in the world. So what is God's mission in the world? Well, it's what we just read about. That your ways, O Lord, may be known in all the earth. That your salvation may be known among the nations. That all peoples will praise you. See, this is God's program. This is God's mission. And he's using the church to accomplish his mission. I mean, you get the picture, don't you? He wants to use us. That's why he's blessing us. That's why he is providing for us. That's why he is demonstrating his love to us on a daily basis, so that he can use us as an example of his grace and his love to the whole world. So God has a plan for the world. And what is it? Well, that he's working a transformation in our lives. He's changing us from the inside out, so that other people will see what he has done to us in our lives. And they'll be attracted to Christ through us. People will see Christ in us. We'll be an example of what the grace of God is really all about. And so, God is working in their lives, working a transformation. And people are seeing, they're looking at us. Well, let me give you an example. We're working right now in the University of Colorado. We have a Christian club for international students on the campus. And they come, and we have Bible studies, we have outings, we go hiking, we go make picnics, so that we can get to know people, and then we can share Christ with them. We've been involved about the last 2 years with a group of Iranians. Now, do you think Iranians need to hear about Jesus? Or not? How many people want the Iranians to hear about Jesus? How many people are willing to go to Iran to tell them? Oops. But you know what's happening? God is bringing Iranians to America. And we are meeting them. And there's thousands, tens of thousands. You know that there's a large number of converts to Christ from amongst the Iranian community? The last count that I've heard, it's over 5 million Muslims from Iran have come to faith in Christ. Because of the terrible government they got, they're saying, well, this is a Muslim country, Muslim government, and the Muslim religion, and they don't like it. They says, let's look for something else, and they're coming to Christ. We have this group of about 12 Muslims. We meet on a weekly basis. We go to their house, they come to our house. We have Bible studies on campus. They come to that. We have a home group for our church. We have a home Bible study from people from our church. And then the Muslim students are coming to that, too. About 2 months ago, some of the Muslims came and they said, we've been coming to these Bible studies, and we finally figured out what the message of Christianity is all about. Basically, it's God loves everybody. And he wants us to do the same. Then about a month ago, one of the Muslim students says, you know, I've been comparing the God of the Bible and Allah in the Quran. You know, they're not the same God. We weeks ago, two of these Iranian students came to me, and they said, well, first they called up and said, we want to talk to you. We got something serious to tell you. Met them at a coffee shop, and they said, we've been watching you. We have our eye on you. What did they get us to say? Says, yes, we've been watching you, and you, we notice in your life you have a peace and a joy and a happiness and the inner sense of assurance. And I said, we know about this bout with cancer you had, and you still exhibited an attitude of rest and confidence. We want you to tell us about that. We talked about it amongst ourselves. They said, first we thought it was just your age. No, that's that. Well, maybe it's just your temperament. No. So we discussed it amongst ourselves, and they said, we believe it's your faith. It's your faith in Christ. And we want you to tell us how we can have that kind of faith. We can experience this in our lives. So we've been meeting with them. We meet with them a week ago. I said, we have some Bible studies for international students, and we've been studying through the plan of salvation and the Gospels. And then I told them 2 weeks ago, we're coming to California. We're going to be visiting some of our friends in California. They said, no, you can't do that. We're going to miss out on our lessons. We're going to have two Bible studies a week to catch up on our lessons because we don't want to miss out on anything. We talk about people who are hungry. They want to know Christ. And that's the thing that we have to realize about Muslims. They are interested in what we have. When they see Christ living in us and the transformation he has worked in our lives, they're interested. I was asked to speak about how to witness to Muslims, how to share Christ with Muslims. Well, here's the big secret. Just demonstrate the love of Christ through your actions in your life. That's the main thing. That's what attracts people when they see Jesus in us. God loves us. And he does have a wonderful plan for our lives. And part of that plan is using us to share that love with other people. One thing that on our campus, we have this Bible study. We have a Christian club. We have the information table on the student union. And we found out that a lot of the international students do not know about Christ. They heard about him, but they don't know about him. We had our information table. There was a poster there, and some students came up, and one student from China came up and said, oh, you have a Bible study. I'm interested in studying the Bible. Can you teach me the Bible? I said, oh, yes, we study the Bible, and we learn about Jesus in the Bible study. Did you know about Jesus? And this man is saying from China, she says, well, I don't really know about Jesus. I hear a lot of the students calling his name out. In fact, they're usually angry when they're calling his name out. But I don't know who they're calling to. Because they call out his name Jesus all the time. That's why you need to come to our Bible study and learn about Jesus. Then there was a guy from Saudi Arabia, Muhammad. He came up and said, oh, you study the Bible? I said, yes, we learned about Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? Oh, yes, he says, we know all about Jesus. He's one of the great prophets of Islam. In fact, he's so important, he's just under Muhammad in importance. We know all about Jesus. I said, you definitely need to come to our Bible study to learn about who Jesus really is. Because we have to realize people don't know Jesus. How can they know unless we take the time to share with them? So Christ is using us as his witnesses for the world. But we have to demonstrate what that is all about through our lives and our actions. We have to be an example. Not only we have to be an example for everybody, we have to be nobody. He got out of jail. He had no money. He had no place to live. He had an old storage locker that he had found. And someone had thrown away a mattress, and he put the mattress in the storage locker, and he was living in there. And I thought, well, no, if I am going to show and demonstrate the love of Christ for him, what am I going to do? So I felt that God wanted me to invite him to come and live with us in our home. Now, that's dangerous. It's risky. Because we had our granddaughter living with us, a six-year-old granddaughter living with us. We're inviting this guy just got out of jail to come and live with us in our home. But John DeVoe came and he lived with us for about 9 months. It was a great time. Had lots of Bible studies, lots of follow-up with him. And it was good because I could get to know him. I met with him on a personal basis, praying with him and studying the Bible together. And God worked in his life. He cleaned up his act. He got his life together. He found a job. And then he could move out. And then became a useful member of the community. But God wants to use us. It's risky. It's risky reaching out to people. But God wants to use us in other people's lives. So what is God's plan for the church? God's plan for the church is to use the church to share the gospel, to reach out to others. Sometimes when we meet with Muslims and we have this group that comes to our home, we have a group of church people, Christians from the church, that have been meeting in our home, studying the Bible. Now these Iranian students are coming. And this is another secret for reaching out to Muslims. You have to learn a new language. It's called simple English. Because people would come to our Bible study, and these Iranians, and I'm teaching them, I'd ask a question about a Bible verse, and the Christians would say, oh, you got to stand on the word. These Iranians are standing on the word. What in the world is that? Stand on the word. What word do you stand on? How can you stand on the word? And they're trying to make sense out of all this. And someone else from the Christian group says, oh, we're getting saved. We've got to get people saved. How do you get people saved? And so we have to talk and explain things in simple language that people can understand. Because we have a special language that only Christians know. And other people don't know. So we have to learn how to communicate in an effective way so that they can understand also. God wants to use us to be an example of his grace to other people. And it's the Lord's desire to work a change in our lives, to reach out to the lost. And what's God's purpose? So just what we read in Psalm 67, that the love of the Lord would be known throughout the whole world. Now, what about those countries in the world that don't accept missionaries? There's some countries that are close to missionaries. You know that? You can't go to Saudi Arabia as a missionary. Who wants to go to Syria these days? But God, in his sovereignty, is bringing people here to the United States. There are over 900,000 international students who come to America every year, 900,000. And they represent many different countries. About one-fifth of those 900,000 international students come from the 40 Muslim countries that don't allow missionaries. But they're coming here, and they're open. You know that there's so many different groups in America. America today has become the largest unreached mission field in the world, with all these people coming. There's 360 unreached people groups, and they're all represented here in America. 41 million internationals are coming to America, and they're living here. Not only international students, but immigrants. Now, I know some Christians tell me, all those immigrants coming to America, why don't they go back home? We don't want them here. But I know a Christian doesn't have that attitude. A Christian has an attitude that God is bringing. how it all starts. Just be a friend. Show yourself to be friendly. Show them what a real Christian is like. And what an opportunity God has. He's bringing all these people here to America. There's a passage in the book of Acts. I'm going to read this verse to you in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17:26. For from one man, Adam, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he has determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that all people would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from each of us. God is bringing people here to America that he is establishing where they should live, that they might reach out to him and perhaps find him. And they will find him if we show them Christian love. See, God is in control of everything. Whatever happens, where people live, where they move to, God is in control. We have to realize that this is God's plan, that there's so many foreigners living here in our country. God wants us to be this so that we can be his example of God's love to them. Last time I was here in California, about 4 years ago, I stopped in the grocery store. And in the grocery store, I saw on the shelf, there was a sign, you know, under each product, but it was written in 6 different languages. That's strange. Why would they have 6 different languages? Yeah, of course. They need it because that's how many different people are living here in this community. And I could read each of the languages and realize those people are living in this community. They're here. We don't need to go around the world. We can't go around the world. But some of us won't be able to go around the world. So God is bringing them here to us so that we can tell them about Jesus. And God, that's what God wants to do. So what should our reaction be? What should our response be? What's God's take on this? I'm going to read the verse from Leviticus, Leviticus 19. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. Love him as yourself. Remember, you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God who sent me this. See, God's telling us that this is how we are supposed to treat the foreigners who are coming here to America. We're to love them. Reach out to them. And God wants us to do our part. He's bringing them here. Now we have to do our part. Okay, I got them here. What are you guys going to do? That's what he's telling us. So we have this Bible study for international students. We had this one student, Japanese student, who came to our Bible study, a Christian. A new Christian came to her and was trying to explain to her, give her her testimony. And the Christian was telling his Japanese student, he says, well, I know I believe in Jesus and all he died on the cross for my sins, and I put my faith in him. And I was baptized, and the Japanese student says, baptized? What's that? What does that mean? Well, the American Christian says, well, you know, it's a type of death. You die to yourself. It's spiritual dying to your own desires. This Japanese student looked at the Christian and says, dying? Oh, did that happen to you? And the Christian said, yeah, it was wonderful. Wait a minute. The Japanese student said, well, where were you when this happened? In the hospital? No, I was in the church, he said. I So what she means is she went through a ceremony in the church where they dunked her in water, and it was a confirmation of her faith in Jesus Christ and the renewal in her life of what Christ means to her. And I says, isn't that right? Isn't that what you meant to tell her? And yeah, no, she says, that's what I said. I just said what I meant. Well, see, we're speaking a language that people don't understand, so we have to learn to make it simple, explain things, to tell them what we really mean. So, God has a purpose for each one of us. He wants to use us in people's lives. He wants us to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to others. Can you think of anyone in your, that you know in your life that needs to know about Jesus Christ, that needs to experience Christ's love in their life? Can you think of anyone like that? Now, can you think, how can you, what action can you do? How can you show them Christ's love? What can you do? It would make Christ's love real to them. So we have to go to them where they are. And make it real to them. Hong came from Korea. I met him on the campus. And he was hungry. He wanted to know about Jesus. And he says, can I come to your Bible study? Would you please accept me into your Bible study group? I said, yes, of course. So he came and a dry sponge. Everything I said, he was just taking in and learning about Jesus. God's Spirit had already prepared him. And after about 6 weeks, because you can't just sit down and say, you know, believe in Jesus and say this prayer and then you're in. It takes time. They have so many misunderstandings. Hong finally, after about 6 weeks, opened his heart and received Christ as a Savior. And he says, oh, thank you, thank you. I mean, he was thanking me. And I asked him, oh, and we were talking about the second coming of Christ. Shall Jesus come back against the end of the world? And I said, oh, what would you do if Jesus Christ came back today? What if he walked through that door back there? What would you do? He said, I'd jump up and I'd run and I'd grab him and I'd give him a big hug and I'd say, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Now I know it's real in his life. There was another student from mainland China, Reed. I said, we had Bible studies, and he says, I want to come and join your Bible study. And I met with him again. Reed knew nothing. He came from a communist China. No religion is allowed. And so he knew nothing about Jesus, nothing about who God was. So it took a little bit longer. It was about 3 months. Met Bible studies for 3, and finally he came and accepted Jesus as the Savior. And after he prayed to receive Christ, he says, now I'm ready. He was a graduate student doing a PhD. He was going to graduate in 1 week's time. He says, now, after I graduate, I'm going back to my home country, and I'm going to tell people about Jesus. When I get back there, I'm going to tell them what Jesus has done to me. See, that is our goal. It's not just to win people to faith in Christ here in America who come from other countries, but we want them to go back. I want to go to China. I want people in China to learn about Jesus. I can't go to China. Ree is going to my place. I'm going to tell him about Jesus. He's going back to China, and he's going to tell them everything that I told them. Actually, I've had a student from Taiwan. He came and met me at our information table. And he says, Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus are coming to faith in Christ. Pronow comes from India. He's been coming to our Bible study on campus. For about a year now. And he's learning about Jesus. But just recently he told me this story. He said, now, I come from the untouchable class. I'm not allowed to be here. I'm not supposed to. Untouchables, we're the untouchable people. This is a class. If it's the lowest of low, no one will have anything to do with us. I explained to him about being born again, what it means being born again. So I've been born again four times. Of course, I was talking about spiritual life, spiritual rebirth. He was talking about a new opportunity. It's like he got to go to high school because untouchables aren't allowed to go to high school in India. But then we even had to open a court case and it went to the Supreme Court in India, and they finally said he could go to high school. Then after high school, he went to the university. He wasn't allowed to go to university, but God was working in his life. After graduating from university, he came to America to do graduate work in America, University of Colorado. He wasn't allowed to leave the country and go to America for graduate work. God gave him a new opportunity. So he says, I've been born again four times. Pronoun looked at me. He says, I believe God brought me here to America for a purpose, for an education, yes. But I believe God has a plan for my life. What an invitation. Yeah, I know what that plan is. Here, let me open the Bible and tell you about it. But he was prepared. Can you imagine meeting a student who says, I believe God brought me here. And it's his plan that I be here, and he has a purpose for me. And I want to find out what it is. Can you help me find out what God's plan for my life is? Think of the opportunities that God's bringing the people here. And he's using us in their lives. Yes, God loves the world. He loves the world through us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That was the first demonstration of his love for us. But now he wants us to reach out to people and tell them about Jesus today. To tell them about Christ. Remember Psalm 67, that your ways, O Lord, may be known in all the earth, that your salvation may be known among the nations. This is God's plan. And we have the privilege of being used by God to touch lives. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for what you're doing. You're bringing the world to us, and you're allowing us to be used by you, to touch lives, to touch the world, to tell people about Jesus. Oh, Father, speak to us. Show us what it is you want us to do. And then, Lord, give us the courage to step out in faith to do it. Thank you, God. I want to turn to a passage in Psalm 96. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 96. Listen to these words. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared among all gods. the nation.